All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, February 15th of 2025. And looking ahead here, we have some MMA action. Then we have NASCAR all weekend here. I believe we had trucks yesterday, Xfinity today, and then Daytona tomorrow. So it should be a fun weekend here. For those of you who are new, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show here on Saturdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning, depending on where you are. Something I wanted to call out real quick. We did release a couple of videos ahead of NASCAR tomorrow. So if you go over to Saber School, one, we did an interview with Jordan and Eric, one of our data scientists, talking about updates to the NASCAR model and things that we have improved upon for this season here starting off. And then a more of like a how to beat NASCAR video talking about using NASCAR in SaberSim. So the video with Eric's going to be more kind of on the model side, talking through the updates. And then Jordan will be putting the putting a process into action within the app in the How to Beat NASCAR DFS in 2025 video. So check out those two if you guys are excited about the NASCAR season here. And with that said, in case anybody's trying to build for Xfinity, I saw that qualifying was canceled today. So our team's working on getting projections up. So please be patient with us. You know, a little bit outside the norm of our process here with qualifying being canceled, but we will get projections up for Xfinity today and then Daytona tomorrow. I don't think projections are up yet for Daytona. Just check. Oh, they are. Okay, cool. So I actually, yeah, qualifying is done already for this. So qualifying did occur for Daytona here. So this is all set. And then I believe we're just waiting on something for today. Okay, cool. Projections are up. Ownership is like shortly behind here. Ownership always follows. Quickly here, so all set there. We did talk about MMA yesterday on yesterday's show, so we're probably going to do a NASCAR demo here at some point. I do want to knock out this first question here, and then we'll go from there. First question, when building MMA lineups on SaberSim, is it a good idea to take fighters out of the pool who I want to fade completely, or am I handicapping myself by completely fading fighters? Okay, so let's go over to the MMA slate for today. So 15th MMA. So here's the thing, right? If you know for a fact you do not want to play a fighter, it is better to just take them out of the pool before you build your lineups. Because let's say this fighter ends up going in, you know, 10% of the pool, right? Well, you're effectively just wasting those lineups, right? Like those are, you know, say you have like 5,000 lineups. That is 500 lineups that you are just not going to consider. And like, don't get me wrong, you know, 5,000 lineups is still a lot, but we really want to try and you know, get 5,000 lineups that like we actually want to play, right? Like, okay, out of these 5,000, like I'm willing to play any of them, right? Like that is like, you know, the best possible thing that could happen, right? You're not always going to achieve that, you know, once you use like contest sims and ROIs, but that should be like your goal, right? Like, hey, I'm willing to play any lineup. That means I have 5,000 good lineups. So I would always remove players if that's what you want. Now, the second question is kind of, the second part is like a little bit separate from the first, right? So it's like, hey, if I want to fade fighters, should I take them out? Yes. Yes, you should. Now, the second part is like, am I handicapping myself by completely fading fighters? This is a little bit of a separate question, right? It's like, hey, you know, how do I do this or how should I do this? And then the second part is, you know, do you think this is a good idea or not, right? My opinion is I think it's fine if you want to, but I don't typically recommend it, right? So like when we talk about leverage on fighters, right? And I have this build with lineups that we ran from yesterday. We'll just use this, right? So let's say I come in here and I just, you know, say I need like 20 lineups or something, right? Why is this doing this? Okay. Either way here, right? When I'm looking at this, you know, and I'm mostly talking about the player table, right? When I'm analyzing my exposures, my leverages, some general guidelines that we give, like sometimes people ask like, hey, how much leverage is like too much leverage, et cetera. Right. I'll usually note like 2 to 3x a player's ownership, right? So like if we're talking about Vince Morales, right? And he's like 28% owned, you know, having 90% of him is like kind of aggressive, right? Maybe something closer to like 60%, like 2x, unless like you feel really strongly about him, then you can go like on the higher side, right? But those are like general guidelines. Those work in both directions, okay? That works for like positive getting over the field, but it also kind of works for getting under the field, right? You know, take somebody like Gregory Rodriguez, 51% owned. You know, full fading him is really aggressive, right? It's the same way as having the opposite direction, right? Or maybe we'll stick with Vince Morales, right? Like having 0% of him is, you know, a big stand, right? Maybe you want to be like 2 to 3x under his ownership or like half, right? So like, I'm thinking like half or like a third. So maybe, you know, his ownership is like 30%. You're like, you know what? I don't really like this guy. I'm okay having him in some lineups, but I don't want to be like overly leveraged on him or anything, right? So then maybe you set max to 15%. Maybe you set maximum to 10%, right? You're like a third of the field. You're a half of the field where what you're doing is you're allowing SaberSim to give you the occurrences that he does well in, but not that many, right? Because I mean, at the end of the day, right, you know, his win percentage, according to our sims, is still, you know, 44%, right? That means he's a dog, but he still wins, you know, a number of times in the sims, right? If you want to be under the field on him, cool, you know, no problem. But, you know, I feel like full fading is like, there is absolutely no way this guy does good today. And I feel like that's like never the case, especially in, you know, a sport like MMA, where, you know, it's very like binary outcome with, you know, two fighters, right? So I prefer just to be like under leveraged on them rather than full fading, but you got to decide what makes the most sense to you, right? Whatever way you want to come about it. So I think like the, you know, negative leverage approach is still good, but you can full fade if you want to. That's totally up to you. All right, Jimmy said, I have two questions for MMA. Is it okay to eliminate minimum salary to zero pre-build? Also, is it necessary to late swap before today? Okay, so first thing is that you cannot late swap in MMA. Even though the fights like start progressively, all the fighters lock at the same time. DraftKings did experiment with late swap for MMA, but it did not go very well, and they ended up going back to the normal format of all fighters lock at the same time. So unfortunately, right, if like, you know, your slate lock comes and like a fight later in the slate gets canceled, there's nothing you can do. So no late swap for MMA. First part, is it okay to eliminate minimum salary or to zero pre-build? Yeah, it's totally fine to come in here and say like, okay, hey, you know, I want to drop the minimum. The minimum here in this build that I was demoing yesterday was 47.5. That's a default. I dropped it to 44,000. If you want to set it to zero, that's okay. I typically maintain like some minimum salary floor. I don't think it's a big deal to go to zero. You know, the build is, you know, not going to build you, you know, lineups that cost, you know, 30,000 unless those lineups did good in the Sims, right? So I think it's totally fine to drop minimum salary to zero if you want to. All right. Couple MMA questions here to get us started. All good there. Taking a peek in the Discord. Science Sleeper said, thank you for your insight. Yeah, no problem. All right. Looks like we're caught up with questions at the moment. Why don't we go over to NASCAR and we'll do a little bit of a build demo for Cup Race tomorrow. I haven't watched Jordan's video yet. Full disclosure, I don't know, you know, what his process is going to look like. Reminder, we all have different processes here. You know, if I do a demo and you're like, hey, you know, Jordan did this and this and this, and you did this, this and this, it's like both of those are probably okay, right? You know, we don't all build lineups the same, and there's always more than one path to victory. So if I were building lineups for the Cup race today or tomorrow, sorry, first thing I would do, right, set my lineups to as many lineups as my build allows here. I'm going to drop this though, just for time. I think the min and max defaults here are fine. 35K, 50K. This is like a 15K range. I think that's plenty of bandwidth here for the builder. I wouldn't be ruling anybody out. I wouldn't be setting any rules here. So I'm not like a NASCAR shark. I don't know a lot about like the NASCAR streets. So really going to be trusting the team here and all the hard work that they do. It's kind of the reason you sign up, right? Like, hey, you got to sign up with whatever company in the industry, you decide to trust, right? And you trust their projections. So I'm trusting the team here. I'm trusting the projections. Not going to be adding any value. I'm sure you could find ways to add value if you're, a NASCAR shark. So I'm not saying you can't do that, but if you don't really have too many opinions, don't feel too bad about not doing anything and rolling with the defaults here. All right. So while the build's running, build's done already, but I would have went and uploaded my entries file, right? Come in here, drag and drop your file, and then I would set up a contest sim. So it would set up contest sims automatically. Let's just say I'm playing the $3.20 max, right? Cool. So playing $3.20 max. Got my contest sim set up. Going to jump back to the build that I was in. And then just going to refresh this real quick. And then I'm going to come over here and click the run contest sim button once it activates green, which it should do at any moment here. Okay. Bucket own looks good. Let's try that again. And let's refresh one more time. All right, let's see. Cool. Contest sim button is green. Gonna click that. Gonna kick off this sim. Going to move some columns around while I wait. A couple things I care more about and care less about. All right, cool. Going to open this lineups pane back up. And just about set here, right? So contest sim ran. It switches to ROI automatically. You don't need to do anything special. If you have an entries file uploaded, I don't. So I have to go over here and switch. A couple things I would do here, right? We're building for a 20 max. Okay, cool. So I would also set up my average ROI aggregate metric. Which we can see right here. So first thing I would probably do, right? I would go in and I would put a filter for ROI greater than zero. So show lineups with ROI greater than zero. Okay, that takes me, that gets rid of 150 lineups here. So we're filtering down our pool to a set of lineups that we want. Now, I'm about ready to start analyzing this. So what I would do here is I would sort by exposure. I can even sort by leverage and just see, you know, where are my biggest stands on the slate and am I okay with them, right? So we have one player over 20% leverage, couple over 10%. Look at the ownerships of these guys, right? 23%, we have them 45. So that's like 2x, right? We were talking about like those like bands, right? 40, our highest exposed driver, 65%, but he's owned 48%, right? So like the leverages aren't that big and we haven't really even changed anything yet. I can go and I can look at some other things, right? Like, okay, hey, look how low our average salary is. It's like 47,000. So we're leaving a lot of salary on the table, right? This is going to be good for our duplication rates, right? So one other thing I could do, right? Okay, I have my ROI filter. I'm just actually going to rename that so I know which one this is. ROI. I can do a geometric mean filter, right? Another step toward filtering for duplication. So I go to show lineups with geo mean less than X. And then I don't really care about the number here. I'm just trying to filter out a certain number of lineups from my pool. And that filters, turn ROI off. I got rid of 8. Okay. Go a little bit lower. 28. I got rid of 21. Let's go 26. Now 59 lineups, that's about 10% here. So cool. So I have a geo mean filter on. Oops, don't want to cancel. And I'm just going to name that too, so I know what it is. Geo mean, save. All right, I got the geo mean filter. We got the ROI filter. So that takes our 500 lineups, filters us down to 292. So we're shrinking that pool of lineups to like a more condensed set of lineups that we kind of want to focus in on and play, right? Okay. That actually impacts our exposures and leverages even more, right? Our exposures, our highest exposures now 50%. Our leverages are a lot flatter. We're taking some stands, but not on the highest owned players, right? On some of these more players in the middle, which is probably a result of us using that geo mean filter, because like if we turn geo mean off, our average geo mean goes up to 25.66, and then with it on, our average geo mean is 24.26. So geo mean, in case you're not familiar with it, you can learn about it in our help docs. There's a really good video here, geometric, and it's this how do ownership product and ownership geometric mean work. Good way to account for duplication of your lineups in the contest you're playing. So check that out if you're not familiar with it. You can use it on both standard and pro or ultimate plans. So I have these two filters on. I'm almost ready here. Now is the opportunity to add in any manual intervention, right? Do you want to adjust min and max exposures? Are you happy with your exposures? If you weren't happy with them, right, you could try adjusting min uniques. You could make manual adjustments. You could trash lineups if you want, right? You could even say, I love this lineup except for, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I'm going to go and change him out and put another driver that I want to play, right? There's tons of opportunities to really just customize the lineups and like make them your own at this point. For me, I would be happy with these lineups and I'd be ready to save these and rock and roll. So that's how I'd be building for Daytona tomorrow. So if you're playing, good luck to you. All right. Jimmy said, when is a good time to create builds for MMA? Typically Saturday mornings. Odds update overnight. There's like a lot of line movement the night before the fight. So we account for all of that. We run sim Saturday morning. So I would say that you are good to go anytime Saturday morning. Sometimes the fights are like early Saturday morning when they're like, overseas and stuff like that. Friday night is fine in those cases, right? So I would say, 12 to 24 hours prior to lock, probably okay. So 12 hours is probably better, within like 12 hours of lock. I would say that's the best. All right. Looks like we are good so far. Got one more here in the Discord. Let's get this queued up. And this one came in from Junk Dog. All right. Question says, hey, Andrew, recently I've been starting to do two builds for slates grouped by all of my single entry and 3 max and 20 max, 150 max. I was wondering, what is your opinion on maybe approaching min uniques between the two builds? For example, should I look to diversify more of my single entries with less lineups than my 20 max and MMEs? Also, what is your opinion on just doing the separate builds and organizing them like that in general? I think it's fine if you want to do two builds. Part of it is just like the extra time it takes to manage two builds. If you find that you can do it, great, awesome. Continue to do so. If you're having trouble accounting for updates, then I would go back to one, right? So like it is better to update for the information that is out than to update at all, as opposed to miss an update in some contests because you were trying to split them, right? So even if you wanted to like do them all together, and then if you have additional time, then split them, like that's an option too. So just the important thing is like to not miss an update in the event that you're trying to do them separately. You know what I mean? So like, don't risk missing it just because you were trying to do it separate is the biggest thing that I would say there. Secondly here, you know, as far as mini uniques go, mini uniques, the number you can get to is typically a product of your lineup to pull ratio, right? So like if you're playing five single entries and you have 500 lineups, well, for every one lineup you need, you have 100 options in your set, right? Five divided into 500 is 100, right? So it's like 100 to 1 ratio, right? Well, when you are playing 150 max and you have 500 lineups, well, now your lineup to pull ratio is like in the 3 to 4 range, right? 3 times 150 is 450. 4 times 150 is 600. So that 500 is in the middle there somewhere, right? So it's not about like, should you diversify more? It's you can diversify more because you have more options, right? You need less lineups. So then the number of unique viable lineups just ends up getting higher since you need less, right? So what I've talked about here is like, say I'm playing, you know, 150 max, a 20 max, and like a 3 max, right? What I normally do, it's a little bit cutting corners, but I've done this, like I've tested this in direct fill enough to know it's okay to do. I will find the min unique number I want to use for my 150. Say it's 3, right? And then I will just scale it. And I'll say, okay, for the 20, I can probably use 4. For the 3 max, I could probably use 5. So like as a number of entries goes down, I'm typically using a higher unique. You could actually do this in practice, right? Like you could sit here and then you say you have 3 contests, you could click one, do your mini uniques, figure out what a good number is, and then go to your next contest with less entries, figure out what a good number is. And, you know, it does vary a little bit, but like the scaled approach, like the 3, 4, 5, 4, 5, 6, whatever it is, ends up being pretty good in general, like a good rule of thumb for me. So I do it because it's a lot quicker than checking it every single time. You know, sometimes that can impact my ability to get updates in, right? So I run with that just because it ends up working out. All right. I think we're all caught up with questions here. We did do a NASCAR demo. So I think we're going to call it. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will be back Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.